peace throughout the world. The country's in turmoil. Our country's in tremendous amount of turmoil. I've never seen such people, so many people get unhinged so much. Give you an example. 11-year-old shoots his and kills his 42-year-old father because he took his PlayStation away. That's become the norm. Killing has become the norm. You're dispensable. Life doesn't matter much anymore. But to God, life matters tremendously. And as we look at the acronym PEACE, we've dealt with this since the beginning of the year and going through it. Looking at the word PEACE starts with a P on the slide. And that means we are a priesthood of believers. The born-again child of God is a priesthood of believers. And the function of the priest is to serve. Also, it has access to God. Therefore, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, due to the fact that Christ is our high priest. And that is why this morning I want us to recognize, and that's why we started through the year, recognizing that we are a priesthood also in the kingdom of light. So we have access to God, and our purpose is to serve one another. And then, of course, we looked at the E several weeks ago, and what does the E stand for? Exhort. Exhort, which is not a common word today. The common word is encourage. But exhort one another. And the Bible gives us specifics in the sense, how often are we to exhort, encourage one another? Daily. Daily. We've got to do it daily. Because we're a nucleus. We're a small group of people, Christianity, compared to other religions in the world. And that is why we need to continuously exhort one another. But the common denominator that we have found within Christianity is to actually tear each other down. And we've got to change that. Because we've all been redeemed or washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are members of one family, the family of God. Oh, there might be disagreements, and we appreciate some of those disagreements. And at Crossway, we kind of bump heads quite often with each other. And then after that, we do have a nice cup of coffee, or in particular, those that drink coffee. I would have a nice can of Coke. But we get through those things. And then, of course, we looked at authority. Authority is very important. And we went back as to, where does authority start? Who originated authority? All authority comes from God. No man has authority of himself unless it's been given or given from God to man. So authority is initiated by God, created by God, and God is the one that gave authority to people. So you and I have delegated authority, and we had looked at the authority in the world, what the reason for that authority is, so that the people in the country can live at peace. And then there's authority also in the church, and authority within individuals' lives. So authority can be used, misused, and abused. And each one will give an account of how they use the delegated authority or authority given to them, will give an account to God one day. Be it at the judgment seat of Christ, or be it at the great white throne judgment. Either one of those judgments. The judgment where the Christians will appear, the judgment where the non-Christian will appear. The final judgment of judgments, where the people whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Today, we're moving on for this particular session, and then also most probably next week, definitely next week. What does C stand for? We're doing the acronym. Communicate appropriately. Communicate appropriately. What is communicate? To share information with others by speaking, writing, moving your body. Do you know that My wife doesn't communicate verbally. She uses her body. And her eyes. You know the look. No, I'm teasing. Or using other signals. In other words, we have verbal and non-verbal communication. Verbal and non-verbal. Married couples understand the non-verbal one. It is called silent treatment. And guys, if you ever find yourself in silent treatment, just shut up. Don't ask, what's wrong? What have I done? Shut up. There's an old saying, silence is golden. I've added onto that over the years. Silence is golden, so shut up and get rich. In other words, enrich yourself in the silent treatment session. It's a freebie. But God is the master communicator. And we're dealing on the surface this morning on this communication. We're not going into deep theology. We're not going into cutting the words asunder or apart. We're looking at basics. God is the master communicator. And communication serves several purposes. The question we ask is, how important is communication? Well, very important. Because God is the author of communication. He's the master of communication. Communication serves several purposes. To inform, I can inform you. To express feelings. To imagine. To influence. To meet social expectations. So God is a communicator. If we go back into history and we looked at authority, who's the author of authority? God. Who's the author of communication? God. No government found it. No individual found it. And we'll see a couple of things this morning. And what I've realized from preparing this, that God is a communicator and God is a personal God that wants to communicate with others. And He does communicate with others. And we'll see it throughout history. We're going to go back into the Old Testament, into the New Testament. And why God, I say, is such a personal God is because He's very unlike impersonal gods of many religions. Many religions have an impersonal God. They speak to the statue and the statue can't respond. So it's an impersonal God. But our God is a personal God that responds, that communicates, that actually warns us, do not carve these images because they are useless. You've got to put them in position. You've got to take them out of position. You've got to lay them down. You've got to stand them up. What an impersonal God that is. But our God is a personal God that loves to communicate. And the Bible shows God's communication within the Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's communication. And I also discover through the Word of God that God communicates with angels. And believe it or not, even with Satan. So God is a communicator. He makes His will known. He makes His mind known. He makes His feelings known, if we put it within the human context. The Father communicates with the other persons of the Trinity. Because in Genesis, we read what? And God said, let us. That's plural, of course. Let us make man in our own image. I don't know what kind of communication happened over there when God said, let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God communicated within the Trinity. Here's the question. What language did they use? What language does God speak? And if you even think about language, who's the originator of language? Human beings? No. God. Let us make man in our own image. Who was God talking to? Let us make man. Who was God talking to? Well, to confuse us even more, God was talking to God. God was talking to God. Why? Is he a schizophrenic? No. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three are one. God. One person of the Trinity was talking to the other persons of the Trinity. We do not know how the persons of the Trinity communicated with one another, but as rational beings, they communicated with each other. And once again, what language? Was there language? Is there language? We don't know. We don't know. The fact is, God communicated. And God communicates with spiritual beings. And in communicating with spiritual beings, my mind goes back again to the same question. If God communicates with spiritual beings, what language? Because there's got to be language in communication, right? What language? When he communicates with spiritual beings. And the book of Job tells us about a conversation between God and Satan. Oh, this is one beautiful portion of scripture that has opened up so much debate. Controversies, arguments. One day the angels came, or the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. You can use the word angels, you can use the word sons of God. You can go back in time, see when this happened. One day the angels or the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And guess what? And Satan also came with them. Question, who invited him? Who invited him? Did he invite himself? The sons of God or angels? And there's where the big argument and debate going on. Who's who in the zoo with the angels and the sons of God? And Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan. So what do we see? The Lord said. Communication. So there's communication in heaven to beings, spiritual beings. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? As if God didn't know. But you notice Satan is answerable to God. Satan answered the Lord from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. That's why your enemy is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none on earth like him. He's blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. And then we get into this question of Job. Notice communication. That's the emphasis of it all. Communication. Does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, why do you think he fears you? Satan says to God. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have what? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. Emphasis, communication. God said, you can do whatever you want to after this, but don't take his life. So what do we find? Great communication going on. And we do not know much about this conference that happened in heaven. A heck of a lot of speculation. But we know that the Lord communicated with Satan, a spiritual being. And then, of course, we find in Exodus 30, verse 11 and 12, God doing something with Moses. Then the Lord said, there we go again. The Lord said, communication. So we're keeping it low level. The emphasis, God is a personal God that wants to communicate. Communicates to within the Trinity, communicates to angelic beings, communicates with individuals or human beings. Then the Lord said to Moses, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Interesting portion of scripture to do a bit of research for yourself. God communicated with an angel. The angel was bringing judgment through the land. In 2 Samuel 24:16. And he came to a certain field and God said, enough, watch this. But as the angel was preparing to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented and said, there's it again, said, communicated, said to the death angel or the angel of death. So it seems, and it would be correct to assume, there is the angel of death that destroys. And God said to the angel, stop, that is enough. At that moment, the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. Stop. No more destruction. So he communicates with angelic beings. He communicates with Moses. And he communicates with people. So God created in his own land, man in his own image. And he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. There are several things there. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So God gave authority to the human beings, gave them instruction to multiply and to have dominion over the earth. No other being has that. So we find within the Godhead this communication. We find communication is important for several reasons. And when God created human beings, we recognize that part of that image was the ability to communicate. And in seeing the ability to communicate, we notice something that God spoke to Adam and Eve. And there's the question again. What language? What language? You and I may say, who cares? I mean, 2026. Why do you want to take me back 6,000 years or 7,000? I don't care what language it is. No, you don't have to care. But it's a valid point. What language? Oh, it was a heavenly language. Oh, so there is language in heaven. But he communicated with Adam and Eve. And in this passage, he gave them two commands. Be fruitful and have dominion. Rule. Be fruitful, rule. And people learned their responsibility. Or should I change that? How did people learn what their responsibilities are? Through communication. Through communication. And that's why communication is so important in this day and age, because it's something like a lost art. I'm amazed how the cell phone has taken the place of communication in person away. As a matter of fact, you can actually go to the restaurant and sit around a nice steak dinner with Coke, and I would observe people communicating with somebody opposite side of the table through texting. I'll never forget. Some time ago, we had two senior ladies in the church. Their husbands had passed. They're living under one roof in the one's son's house, two apartments. We would visit the one and we say, where's so and so? Oh, next door. I said, you mean you open that door and you're in that one's apartment? Yeah. So how often do you see each other then? Hardly ever. How do you communicate? Wow. I just observed somebody in this week, somebody that I know that's got a son. As a matter of fact, Brian Lichtenvik knows him, and several of you may know the individual as well, the person, has a son. They go out for dinners and lunches often. But you'll always find the son has headphones on and he's on his phone, even at lunchtime. No communication in the verbal sense. But we find this is the age we're living in. I don't think people's thumbs have ever had so much exercise. At least the tongue is getting a break. I think. So we recognize that information is given to us. People learn their responsibilities through communication. We communicate here. You communicate at home to learn what the responsibility is or to know your responsibility through communication. And all through the Bible, we see God continuing to communicate with human beings. And we're going to do a number of them this morning just for our own sake, because we see God is very much involved not only in creation itself, not only with angelic beings, but very much involved with you and me, human beings. He communicated with Adam and Eve. How? By walking and talking with them in the cool of the day. What an experience that must have been. God comes. We talk. We walk. There was no sin. I don't know what that's like. I can't even begin to imagine what it must have been like for Adam and Eve communicating with God in the cool of the day. He communicated with Abraham. He communicated with Joseph through a dream. He communicated with Moses at the burning bush. Notice, communicate. He communicated with Samuel. He communicated with David. He communicated with Mary through an angel. And then I find something interesting. He communicates with us. How does he communicate with us? Well, how do we know that he communicates with us? You've got to go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, God spoke in many. Notice the difference in color. Long ago, God spoke in what were the many different ways? To our fathers. How did he speak in many different ways? Those are things we need to know. Those are things that help us to understand the God that we serve. Long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers through the prophets. How did he speak to the prophets? In visions? In dreams? Even face to face? Telling them little by little about his plans. That's the Living Bible translation. You want more depth, go to the New American Standard Bible. Or nowadays, a few years ago, they brought out the Legal Standard Bible. Made the world, but now, in these days, these last days since the birth of Christ. But now in these days, he has spoken to us how? Here's my opinion. It's not worth much, but here it is. I don't need any new revelation. I don't. Everything that I need to know is actually in Christ and his word. I don't need to have somebody tell me something about the future. The future is already told to me in the book of Revelation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah. I mentioned this on Wednesday. how so much within Christianity today is so pathetic. Especially people placing themselves in positions that they've got the only word from God. For instance, just recently, which I shared on Wednesday night, a lady prophetess said, and she prophesies a lot, I believe, and she's world renowned, that God had spoken to her personally, and this is what she's got to convey, that God is changing course. Now, God's changing course. And he's telling you to tell me. It's impossible for you to tell me because you've got limited access even via the internet. And so we hear a lot of the, God spoke to me personally. And whenever I listen to many of these so-called prophet or prophetesses, either sitting in the garden and getting some revelation, or somewhere else getting some revelation, and I think this is what I'm seeing. I think this is what I'm... Man, do you think or do you know? Because if it's God telling you, you know, you know, you know. So I would present to you, my brothers and sisters, my sheep, be careful, because there's a tremendous amount of deceit going on within Christianity. Be careful. He communicates with us through his son, to whom he has given everything and through whom he made the world and everything there is. He gave him everything. Is there anything else we can add to salvation? No. Christ is the fulfillment of everything. Is there anything we can add into the last days? No, it's already told us. He told us everything. In detail, some of it, others not. But what I do know now, the just shall live by faith. Do I need some special revelation? No. Do I need some special prophecy? No. Because I'll tell you why I say no, and that's for me. Whether you want it or not, that's fine. For me, I don't need any special prophecy. Because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide. And so we are quick to listen to other human beings instead of this human being, Christ. Oh, he's a human being? Yeah, he took upon himself flesh. And he became a man. Now he's exalted. If you want to, he's the Superman. He's God and he's man. Try and figure that out. When I ask who is the originator of language, you've got to come to the agreement. It's God. He is the originator of language. Whatever language was spoken to Adam and Eve, from there onwards, language developed. Today, there are over 7,000 known languages in the world. I wonder if God can speak all 7,000. There is a guy in Canada that can speak 42 languages fluently. That's excluding all the 7,000, excluding dialects. But I also find God the Father is a communicator within the Trinity. He communicated in the old days, but so did Jesus before the incarnation. And Jesus is a communicator. As a matter of fact, Jesus spent much time communicating. About half of the words in the gospel is about words that Jesus spoke. More than 500 times, the gospel shows Jesus speaking, asking questions, and answering. And he has the question. I'm a fantastic singer. I mean, I'm known for my singing ability and capability. I sing between the black and the white notes. Did Jesus sing? So we see that he spoke in different ways, asking questions, answering people. And let me just give you a number of them. Note some of the communications of Jesus. He communicated with his immediate disciples or friends. He communicated with his family. I don't know to what age he communicated with his stepfather, his father Joseph. Because Joseph was not around at the cross. So somewhere along the line, Joseph must have died. And then we recognize that Mary was there, and of course, John took care of her. He communicated with his disciples. Oh, who will forget how he communicated with the lady at the well? So we recognize that Jesus is a great communicator. Oh, he communicated with a thief on the cross. You're dying and you still communicate with somebody on the cross? Why didn't you just die peacefully? Well, he did. As a matter of fact, the Bible does explicitly state nobody took his life. He gave his life. He was in power all the time. And he rose from the dead, not because of anything else, but because of the power of God, Christ. He communicated with people in the synagogue. He communicated with a woman caught in adultery. He communicated with the sick and handicapped people. He communicated with Pilate, Herod, and his other accusers. He communicated with great crowds, including 5,000 at one time. He communicated with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and called the Pharisees some nice names. But he communicated. Bringing us to the point again, how important is the communication? Are we going to dig into that a little bit? Maybe today. Notice some of the ways Jesus communicated. He taught, he praised, he rebuked, he preached, he counseled, he told stories. He asked questions, he answered questions, he recited the Old Testament. Once, there was a strange way of communicating. What was it? He bent down and he wrote on the sand. What did he write for him to know and for you and me to find out? We don't. But he wrote on the sand. And writing on the sand had such an impact that the accusers left one by one. And he said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? They're gone." The power of writing in the sand. Maybe husband and wife, try that next time you're on the beach. We do not know what he wrote, but the act of writing communicated something. On another occasion, interesting. Walks by a fig tree. What does he do? Curses the fig tree. Was there a problem with the fig tree? Why only that fig tree? Are all fig trees cursed? I can't have fig jello or jelly. The cursing of the fig tree was not judgment on the fig tree, but was a means of communicating a message to the disciples. So we see Jesus communicating all the time, teaching, educating. Look at the next slide, communication. Communication is a way we what? We accomplish what God has designed and called us to do. So does he communicate to us what to do? Yes. Where? In the Bible. And that's why for the young generation, the older generation, and the dinosaur generation, we've got to keep up communication. Let's see what he wants. Communication is a way we accomplish what God has designed. How do I know what he's designed? By what he has communicated. Where did he communicate? In the form of writing in the Bible. Oh, we can have personal communication where there's something you know in your heart. It is him that spoke to you. But communication is a way we accomplish what God has designed and called us to do. And God has given human beings the ability to communicate. Why are we trying our hardest not to communicate when God gave us the ability to communicate? If you're mad, tell somebody you're mad. If you're glad, tell them three times you're glad. So God has given humans the ability to communicate. Is it then possible? Is it really possible? And you can say, yeah, nay, or I don't believe you. Is it possible? When God said, let us make man in our likeness and our image, part of that likeness is communication. Is it possible? Why do I say that? Let's look at Genesis 1:26 that I've just referred to. God said, let us, once again, that plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amplified version, very good version if you want to read a little bit more into it, into the scriptures, make mankind, let us make mankind in our image. There's that word again, said. God said. So there's communication. Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. What was the likeness like of God? Oh, we can go into theology and try and find some stuff in theology. But is it really possible when we use the word likeness that we are able to reason? We are able to discern. We are able to speak. Is that part of the likeness? After our likeness, and let them have complete authority, there's got to be some form of communication over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. Gave them that authority. We do not understand all aspects of the image of God in humanity. But part of that image seems to me to be able to communicate. And the reason I say that, God is a communicator. And He's given us the ability to communicate. Because He's a personal God. And when I look at inanimate objects, they have no ability to communicate. The wind blows. A flowing river makes a sound. You can hear the wind howl. You can hear the sound of the river. But sound, in this sense, is not communication. When I hear the howling wind, it creeps me out. I don't like the howling wind. When I see the river flowing, it's a nice sound. It's active. It's alive. So it projects something, but it doesn't really communicate. Sounds do not imply communication. I would submit to you this morning that communication, listen carefully, communication requires intelligence. Where did that intelligence come from? God. So you telling me a donkey's got intelligence? Because it spoke? Well, what did the donkey do? It just obeyed the instructions given to it. Could the donkey converse with Balaam? No, only instructions given. And when I mentioned to you that communication requires intelligence, inanimate objects do not have that intelligence. So that's why you and I am set apart from everything else in creation. We can converse in an intelligent manner. A parrot can only repeat. But then sometimes that's exactly what some humans being. They're like parrots. No, we are intelligent human beings. Because we were created in the likeness and the image of God. And we take this intelligence for granted. And we take the ability to communicate for granted. Until one in your family dies. Then you recognize their silence and no more communication. How you miss that communication. How you miss speaking with that individual. And then sometimes, like, people will go through a stage of regret. I should have pushed them away. I should have given them more time. I should have. Communication is very important. Requires intelligence. Now, when it comes to animals, and the old question always arises, are there going to be animals in heaven? Cat dies, is it going to heaven? Your dog dies, is it going to heaven? Are there horses in heaven? Well, if Jesus is coming back on a white horse, there's got to be some form of life there. I don't know. Let's speculate. You think there's going to be guinea pigs? I don't know what they're going to be in heaven. We need to ask some of these guys that have gone to heaven and come back. Maybe they can share with us. Animals have a limited ability to communicate. Can they communicate on the same scale as the human being? Why not? Just think about it. Can animals communicate on the same level as you and me? No. Why not? They were not created in the likeness and the image of God. So are you privileged? But isn't it nice to communicate with the animal? Of course it is. The animals have limited ability to communicate. They can alert others to danger. Oh, they can communicate that food is available. Oh, I don't know how they do this. Every time I barbecue, within seconds, the crows are there. They're waiting for that steak bone, the bone, the T-bone. They're waiting for the pieces of fat. I hardly in the house, and you come and... The squirrels, oh my gosh, the fight between the squirrels and the blue jays. Sometimes I think squirrels are more intelligent than human beings. Because they can get to that feeder no matter how you foolproof that thing. They can communicate that food is available. However, they are not capable of detailed communication of human beings. So let me try and just sum this thing up and look at the next slide. Communication is an important part of what? Us. Isn't it nice to communicate? Isn't it nice in our country to have the freedom of speech? And yes, it's very nice to have the freedom of speech, but I find the freedom of speech is abused. I have never for the last two years, I've never seen the popularity of the F word. I've never seen that. That has become so popular amongst the House members, the senators, the kids. And you know what also amazes me? That when you go to other countries, like I said, I've been into 32, 33 countries other than myself, going to another several countries at the end of the year. You know what I have found? People that can't even speak English properly, but one word they know. You know how many people I've told to go take an English course to expand their English vocabulary? But communication is an important part of humanity. It's so nice to communicate. It's so nice to share our feelings with one another, our disappointments, our hurts. We do so much of our daily work, what? Through communication. The ladies at the bank, the mechanics, the electricians, just go through the whole lot. I mean, there's a lot of communication going on. All because God created us with the ability to do that. Let me sum up. We entertain ourselves through communication. We correct others through communication. Paul corrected the Galatians through a letter. Paul corrected the Corinthians, and man, were they in a state. He had to write two letters to them. Long ones. To the Christians. So Paul corrected the Galatians with a letter. The Corinthians with letters. And we complement each other through communication. Now, God forbid that you and I, as Christians, misuse the ability to communicate. Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Is there a preferred way that God wants us to communicate? If so, what is it and how do I find it? God forbids abuses of communication. So if God has a preferred way of us to communicate, has He revealed it? If God has a preferred way for us to communicate and how to communicate to one another and to the world, has He revealed it? The answer is yes. He has shown us through the apostles. He has shown it to us through the Word of God. He has shown it to us not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament. So if God doesn't want us to abuse communication, how does He want me to communicate? Yes, in love. But there's certain things to communicate appropriately that's got to be left out. In other words, communication with one another. There's certain ways we've got to do it. There's certain things we've got to say. There's other things we've got to shut up. So what are those things? Guess what? You'll have to wait till next Sunday. Because now we stop. Because communication is an important part of our humanity. And to know more about that important part of our humanity, you better be here next Sunday, snow or no snow. And you're going to learn more what this is all about. Communicating appropriately, effectively, God's way. But we've come to the conclusion this morning that God is the master communicator. He's the origin of languages. Languages is found in Him and because of Him, and He uses language to communicate with us. Is that the only way? No, He can use signs. And this is another thing. People are looking for signs all over the show. People are looking for signs. They want to follow this sign, they want to follow that sign, they want to follow this prophecy, they want to follow that. Just follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow His word. We don't need anything extra. He is the fulfillment of everything revealed in that beautiful book called the Bible. Can we pray? Father, I love You.